There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Going to take a look around the NFL coming up in the next segment with a great unsponsored football segment filled with knowledge and fun brought to you by To Be Determined. You can chime in if you'd like on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown, your hometown, home and business security company. Guardian Protection, which woke me up in the middle of the night, actually, and I got quite fearful.
Animal?
In a way, yeah. It said there was someone in my driveway. It was about midnight 30. And I clicked my app, and there was one of those lantern flies that was right in front of the camera.
Oh.
It just flittered by for a second, and it looked like an alien. It took up half the damn camera, and I was like, okay, thank God. Someone wandering into my driveway at 12:30. I'm going to have to go out there, do nothing but call the cops.
I'm going to go out there to do nothing.
My wife is always, she's like, when you're out of town, I get so nervous. Why?
Am I going to protect the house?
Yeah, what am I? I'm just gonna slow them down, and then you're all screwed. Yeah. I'll slow them down while they beat me to a pulp. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And you can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Herm Edwards wanted to weigh in on the Justin Fields Friday performance, Doran. Shall we hear from the former NFL head coach?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He had some early completions, but at the end of the day, he kind of fell back to how he was playing in Chicago. I think Russell Wilson's a starter.
He's a starter in your mind and Tomlin's mind right now.
No doubt. Russell Wilson's a starter. And now, Justin Fields, will he have a role? I think he might have a role. Maybe a slash role when the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's Russell Wilson's job to lose when the season starts.
Oh, my God. Finally. It's Russell Wilson's job to lose, even though it was always Russell Wilson's job to lose, because guess who was in pole position the whole dang time? That was Russell Wilson. So here's what kind of irks me with the national media on all this. You should really be reading and listening to local reporting, because Russ Wilson hasn't played a lot, and yet, in Mike Tomlin's mind, Justin Fields still hadn't leapfrogged him. He hasn't been playing, and he hasn't been leapfrogged. That tells you everything you need to know.
Right.
And then he plays on Friday, and I thought there were good things. I definitely think there were good things. But he didn't blow anybody out of the water. He didn't run. He didn't have a deep, we've heard he's got a great deep ball. We didn't see any of that. I think he needed to be special, and it's hard within the framework of what they were asking him to do.
Right.
I think he needed to do something special for them even to think that he would be the guy game one. And that didn't happen. Doesn't mean he can't be part of the solution this year. Doesn't mean he can't be the Steelers' long-term quarterback. But he needed to do a lot, and Russ needs to do a lot of bad in order for him to even be in consideration to be the starter.
Well, like you said, Russ Wilson being out really just kind of acts the whole situation of Justin Fields ever in any realm becoming the starting quarterback, because he never gave him a reason to lose the job.
Yeah.
You can't lose the job whenever you're not performing. And Russell Wilson, all you're going off of is his resume right now. and what he did in OTAs. Like him being out and not throwing interceptions in practice, not fumbling, not doing all the bad stuff that comes with playing football, really hurt Justin Fields' chances, which were probably 1% at that, of being the starting quarterback.
He had to lose the job. You've been saying this for a long time.
Yeah. Justin Fields was not going to win it.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson would have had to absolutely lose the job for Justin Fields to be the starting quarterback.
I heard a Steelers writer on with Donnie yesterday. Donnie was out at Dino's in Latrobe, and he was living his best life. He said he had family and friends out there, a live studio audience. It kind of brings a tear to your eye. It's Donnie nice. Football living his dream out there, and he's just probably crushing their delicious wings.
Yep.
And they got those beers that have the frosted mugs. Mm-hmm. I digress. My bad. I'm sorry. What were we talking about? Oh, Steelers writer, I think it was Nick Faribault, on with Donnie. And he said, look, it is a difference. When Russ has been the guy, and he's really only been the guy like this last practice and a half, he said there's a difference.
Yeah.
The ball goes where it's supposed to go. He's not turning the football over. He goes through his reads. And one of the knocks that I have heard about Justin Fields is that, you know, if he has to come off that first read, he gets a little skittish.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know why, right?
Tell me.
Take a guess why you think he gets skittish whenever he comes off the first read.
Well, I think it's because he just knows, all right, first read's not, well, is it because they suck?
No.
Outside of the wide receiver? Okay.
No, just him.
I think it's because, all right, first read's not there. The most explosive thing I think I can do now is use my legs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you can't really do that in OTAs. You can't do that in minicamp. You can't do that in training camp, which is why he never could have won the job. It always had to get lost.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what you want to hear out of a guy that you think could be your franchise quarterback. But until the full powers are allowed to be used, it's not fair to fully evaluate him. You can't. And I wonder in this second game, we have the whole week to get into this. I wonder if you're not going to show more probably if you're Arthur Smith, like with complex play calls or formation shifts or anything like that. But I do think I would say, hey, if we asked you to stay in the pocket game one, I'm probably not asking him to stay in the pocket game.
You'll see two different offenses. Like they won't show more, but the offensive structure whenever Russ is in the game on Saturday will be different whenever Justin enters the game on Saturday. It'll be a different offense. It won't be a lot more. Like, you'll see the basic plays, but the basic plays pertain to Russ will be different than the basic plays pertain to Justin, I guarantee.
A little more, they could go a little read option.
I don't know what it's going to be, but I know that the offense will just operate differently, and you'll be able to tell that it's like, it'll be more rhythm-based. You're trying to get into a rhythm with Justin Fields, like in the first preseason game. Like, that's why he was doing the dink and dunks, and, you know, there's certain plays that were called. It's like rhythm-based, but it'll be automatic rhythm-based whenever Russ gets in there that you won't have to wonder if you can get into a rhythm. It'll already be automatic. Whenever Russ takes foot on the field, it'll be rhythm-based, and it will look different than trying to get into a rhythm for Justin Fields, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't get in any rhythm in the first game.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But that won't happen with Russ.
No,
I guarantee.
I mean, Tomlin hasn't confirmed that he's going to start. I think, you know, conventional wisdom, common sense tells you that if he goes through the rest of this week and that joint practice with Buffalo, that he's going to be the starter, Russell Wilson I'm talking about. I have high expectations. I have very high expectations because I know that last year in the preseason out of Kenny, we saw a perfect passer rating and all of that. I thought we did see some of the talent from Justin Fields. Like, to get that ball off on that first screen, there's talent there.
Absolutely.
There is athleticism there on display. The Steelers have not had a quarterback. The play action, laser beam from one hash to the other hash on the Van Jefferson throw. There is talent there. But I do expect Russ Wilson to come in and it looked different.
Mm-hmm.
I just am.
Like that play right there, like Russ would have identified, he would have already saw it as peripheral that somebody was rushing in his face, and he would have been a lot more calmer and not have to make the sidearm throw, that he probably would have slid up and just dumped it off. Like something like that, like where you're trying to get in a rhythm with, and I know I'm repeating myself, you're trying to get in rhythm with Justin Fields to see if he could find that rhythm. Russ Wilson already will have that rhythm, which it won't be an expansive amount of different plays, but the plays will look different whenever Russ is in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he had
smoother.
Yeah, because he knows he's going to go through his reads. He's going to go through his progressions.
Yep.
And that's how, at this stage of his career, he's going to get it done. is he's going to be a distributor of the football. And still, I think we're seeing out of Justin Fields, if you want the best out of him, it's not going to be, I'm a master of the offense, mm-mm, distributor of the football. Mm. It's, hey, look at this thing that I can do that like three other quarterbacks on the planet can do,
mm-hmm,
kind of thing. I got to say, and I'm going to digress here, taking it off a quarterback for a second, one game with Arthur Smith. And we talked about the play action yesterday, which is so nice to see because they haven't done it in years. The other thing is they have been, for as long as I can remember, really, a horrific screen team. I think they have the guys to be a good screen team this year. I hope that that becomes part of it for them. You've got good enough run after catch guys where you don't have to take considerable turnover worthy shots to have big plays or chain moving plays. I think they got the guys to have a effective screen game. You just needed a coordinator that knows how to call it.
And they have athletic offensive linemen that can get out in space.
Great point.
And there was a play whenever Justin Fields threw to George Pickens on the, you know, quick screen, the receiver screen, and Pickens ran outside. He should have actually just ran inside because his linemen were coming to block outside,
yeah,
and then cut it up. Like, if you have to get on the same page with that for you to be a good screen team and not just take it and have your feel that, like, all right, I'm going to just try to make a play. Like, no, play the screen out because there's a method to it. Like, if they can get George on that same page and other receivers on that same page, yeah, they could be really good because they have the athletic guys that can get out in space. Like, think about Zach Frazier getting out in space on a screen. Like, he, you know, he's athletic. He can, you know, he sticks on guys. Think about Faltano. Think about Broderick. We saw his highlights and Faltano's highlights from college of them in space on screens. Like, they have all their offensive linemen can get out in space. So you're onto something right there. They should be pretty good.
Onto something?
On a screen game. That was long-winded. Sorry.
No, it's good. It's very good. I like watching. This is where I'm a loser. I like watching, like, the cut-ups, like, before the draft of offensive linemen. Not that I could grade an offensive. I'm like Craig Wolfley here, all right? But I love when you get the big, athletic offensive linemen that are projected to go high in the draft, and their highlight tape is them getting out on the second level and getting out on screens, and they just eviscerate defensive backs.
Yes. Worst nightmare.
And I thought we saw from Zach Frazier, his first snap of the game, they're double teaming the defensive tackle.
And he slides up to the backer.
It's like
butter.
Like butter.
It was just smooth. Just cut right in the middle of a piece of butter, and that's what it felt like. Mm.
You guys leave your butter out?
No. Doesn't it melt?
My grandma always had a stick of butter with, like, you know,
on that little plate, like
on
the
that
little rectangle.
Plate. Yeah. Always. Yeah. And it was you could take it. Now, if I want to spread butter on bread, I got to toast the bread so it gets hot,
right?
You know? My grandma, take that butter off easy. And she would be ticked. We'd go to a restaurant and she'd say, you guys have real butter? And they'd be like, I don't know. And then she'd reach into her purse and she'd
drive around stick of butter. Like,
she'd pull the same thing out. The thing that would be on her table.
Nuh-uh.
I swear, not like a butter packet. She would have the little tray
wrapped up
in her purse. Yeah, with like a paper towel.
Stop.
I swear. Yep. Butter talk right here on the Fan Morning Show. Butter can be bad for your heart. We want you back after this break. Heart disease kills one person every 33 seconds. Schedule your heart screening at UPMC today. We've got Arthur Smith asked a question that has been talked about a lot. We'll let you hear what Arthur Smith had to say about a common question about his offense when we come back, and also our great unsponsored football segment with a wide receiver theme.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Great unsponsored football segment filled with knowledge and fun brought to you by To Be Determined. Coming up in a few minutes, Arthur Smith spoke yesterday at Steelers practice, and he was asked a question, man, that I know Mulsey's brought up a ton, and so we've talked about this too. How important is a number two wide receiver in your offense, Mr. Smith? And here's what he had to say.
Year is different. I mean, there's something here. I mean, if you feel like you've got a strong group, there may be weeks you may be short two guys. So you're trying to develop and get the best personnel groups, and a lot of it's matchup based. There are things we want to attack the defense, and we think maybe their weaknesses, we have an advantage. And some weeks it may be different. You know, they may be pretty salty in the run, and you may not want to get them in a lot of base, and you may want to spread them out. But, you know, any amount of great players, it's our job to figure it out. And you just have to have a contingency plan. Same thing at tackle. You know, as you're trying to get your top eight, well, you may have guys, certain guys that may be in one position, and you may have a guy that can actually do both. You know, perfect world, you love your third tackle to play both, but that's not the issue, and you've got a starter that can do both. So those are things you're trying to problem solve. The same thing with the skill positions. Guys get more comfortable in it. You never know, a guy may have to be elevated from practice squad, and it may be the tight end's better than the fifth wide receiver, and so that's kind of carries week to week.
Do you feel like you have enough there after George right
all
now?
I worry about is who I have. You know, those are the things. Like, there's a practical reality. It's a lot of wasted energy, and everybody would love to have the perfect roster. That just doesn't exist. And so you just deal with what the reality is. And if they, you know, like I said, I'll coach whoever they bring in here, but it's our job and my job, more importantly, to worry about the guys that are here and try to put them in the best spots.
I mean, you have to have a number two receiver, or it depends on your philosophy. And knowing Arthur Smith, like he always had a philosophy of carrying like five tight ends. And that's whenever he only had that number one wide receiver. So it depends on what your personnel can give you and where your biggest assets are. And their biggest asset right now, if you look at their offense, is their running back. So if you have, skilled-wise, if you have, you know, the running backs, and you don't necessarily worry about the second receiver, because the second receiver will end up being maybe even a running back without running the ball, or it could be Pat Freiermuth. So I do believe in what he says. Like, I just work with what I get, and then I have to figure it out from there. Like, people always have this, you know, thought that Arthur Smith has this type of offense. He doesn't have a type of offense. He's like a chameleon. He's a chameleon. He shapes his offense around what he has, and then he adapts from there. In a perfect world, you would love to have a number two legit wide receiver, because they can possess different things. You would love to have an X receiver. You would love to have a Z receiver. Z receiver is definitely different than an X receiver. Z receivers off the ball, they motion, they do all kinds of different things. They're short-handed. They don't necessarily get open, but they are open because of the X receiver. You know, I learned that early on in my career, and knowing Gary Kubiak and his offense, and he was head coach when I was with the Texans, he had Andre Johnson and Kevin Walter. Kevin Walter was a 6'4", 220-pound number two receiver. Wasn't a burner, but he was open because he was a bigger body, and they obviously had Andre. And then it goes back to when he was offensive coordinator in Denver, when they had Rod Smith and Ed McCaffrey. It made sense. And Terrell Davis, and that was Arian Foster. Like, it depends on what your mindset is as an offensive coordinator and how you want to adapt to those different things. You would love to have a number two receiver, but you don't necessarily need to have a number two receiver if you have a good coordinator, is basically what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and I don't think that he should be put in a box at all, just to bounce off what you're saying. Like, the year that got him hired in Atlanta was 2020 in Tennessee. Now, he had a 2,000-yard rusher in Derrick Henry. That's going to solve a lot of problems. But his number one wide receiver caught 70 passes.
Mm-hmm.
His number two wide receiver caught 65 passes.
How many did the tight ends catch?
Combined, they caught 80 passes. Jonnu Smith and Anthony Firkser for about 800 yards. So yeah, I mean, he does like to use the tight ends, but this idea that he doesn't throw the ball to his number two wide receiver, I think it just depends on what you have.
You're right.
And in Atlanta, they had the youngster tight end with all the ability in the world, and they threw the ball to him. They threw the ball to their second tight end. I thought the bigger problem there, if you do some analytical deep dives, was the quarterbacks.
Yes.
They had terrible quarterback play. Terrible quarterback play. Now, Arthur Smith is the head coach. Had something to do with the quarterbacks that were there. Okay, but you call the offense for them what you do have, and those guys were bad. The kid from Cincinnati,
Ritter,
was a abject disaster, and they targeted the tight ends all the time in the middle of the field, but his completion percentage in the middle of the field was darn near the bottom of the league, and he fumbled a ton. So I think if you have Brandon Ayuk, you're in a much better place than if you don't have Brandon Ayuk.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have Brandon Ayuk and you start thinking about who are the five best playmakers, I think that's an interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's George Pickens. I think it's Pat Freiermuth. And I think you probably immediately then go to the running backs.
Yeah.
I think it's Pickens, Freiermuth, Warren, Harris, and then probably Van Jefferson at that point. And then you mix and match for strengths and, okay, Scotty Miller can run fast. And
I think, feel like you just look at this team, and it's quite obvious, at least to me it is. It's that, okay, like you can make it work. Like if you're a competent coordinator and a competent team, which Mike Tomlin, you know, is always in the fight, like you can make this receiving core work. It's like having a lawnmower. Like I can make my lawnmower work and make my grass look good, but if I had a weed whacker, it'll look really good.
Yeah, because until then, you're going to be rough around the edges.
It's going to be rough around the... There you go.
Man. Ooh.
So, like, I mean, Arthur Smith's like, look, this is what I have to work with, and I'm going to make it work as best as my abilities. But if you add, you know, that weed whacker, I can make this lawn look immaculate.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that big time in that they're going to, without Ayuk, be better than they were offensively last year.
Yes.
Because it's hard to not be. And I know we said that from Kenny's first year to the second year, but how could it not be now? More athletic offensive line. A quarterback that has won a Super Bowl. And a coordinator who was so good at his last coordinator job, it got him hired to be an NFL head coach. You're going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Being better to me isn't good enough. You need to actually be good.
Right.
And Ayuk takes them from being better to actually being a good stand-on-your-own offense.
Yes.
So get it done.
Yes.
We will get to the great unsponsored football segment. That was too good a conversation about lawnmowers to punt there.
A blower, leaf blower. You need that to
get a leaf blower.
It could look nice, but if you got to do the three-piece there.
I got a dorky little leaf blower. It's an electric one, and it dies in, like, I don't know, 15 minutes.
You charge the battery?
Of course, every night.
Mm. Every night? You use it every day?
No, but it's always plugged in until I need it. If I use the weed whacker first and then the blower, which I think is probably the preferred order of operations there, it always dies.
Is the weed whacker electric too?
Yeah, same charger.
You need,
I need
two
a second
batteries.
Charger is what I need.
Yeah, you need two batteries.
Yeah, I'm happy we talked that out.
It didn't come with two batteries?
It may have, and I may have lost one.
Oh, yeah.
Question is, where are you losing a second battery? Why are you taking it out? Why am I such a Nimrod? Where did
you
this
probably
thing go?
Didn't think that you didn't need a second battery.
Because I had the one battery.
You had one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're probably like, oh, I'm not going to use a leaf blower that much.
Right.
Right, but then you do.
Yeah, because I don't collect my clippings in the bag. Do you have a bag on yours?
Leaf blower?
No, on your lawnmower.
Yeah, every once in a while I put the bag on.
If it's too long.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, we got the great unsponsored football segment coming up next. And also a texter raises a very good question about Mike Tomlin and quarterbacks, which we'll get to as well. That music can only mean one thing. It is time for the great unsponsored football segment filled with knowledge and fun, brought to you by To Be Determined. But we got to put a pin in that just for a second, because we have breaking Penguins news. The Penguins have made a trade, Doran. They are receiving from St. Louis a 2026 second-round pick, a 2025 third-round pick. What is going in return? A 2025 second-round pick and a 2026 fifth-round pick. That's a weird one.
Huh.
That's weird.
Very.
So that is obviously not the Penguins news that everyone had been waiting for. That is still Sidney Patrick Crosby signing on the dotted line to remain a Penguin for life, but a trade made by Kyle Dubas nonetheless. Two draft picks for two draft picks. Do you just wake up, you go out on your patio, it's a beautiful day, kind of feels a little fall-like, have yourself a cup of coffee, and just go, you know what, I want to get rid of two draft picks and bring two in.
Yeah. The same year, almost.
Yeah, I'm just bored.
Swap years, yeah.
I'm just bored today.
What is it, 2025 third-round pick and a 2025 second-round pick?
2026 second-round pick and 2025 third-round pick is what you get. And you give up a 2025 second-round pick and a fifth-round pick in 2026.
Yeah, like same thing.
So you wind up with the better of the picks, but St. Louis gets a second-round pick for a year earlier.
Right.
Do you think when St. Louis comes to town that they'll do a tribute video for the 2025 second-round pick?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so, too. It'll be heartfelt. Yep. A big tearjerker. Mm-hmm. All right, back now to our regularly scheduled, great unsponsored football segment filled with knowledge and fun brought to you by To Be Determined. They were just talking about this on ESPN. Marquise Brown, he's dinged up. And the question was, are you worried about the Chiefs passing attack without Marquise Brown? Do people know that last year we did this to them? Does ESPN remember this? We did it last year during the regular season. They lost the first game, what, to Detroit, right?
Yes.
Because their receivers couldn't catch the football. And all year long, they struggled, at least by their standards, throwing the football. And what'd they do? They won the Super Bowl. We used to do this to the Patriots all the time. You'd find little reasons why, oh, this isn't going to be their year. Oh, they don't do this at the level that they're used to doing. And then at the end of the year, they're being in the AFC Championship game again because they went for nine straight seasons. Doubt the Chiefs at your own peril, but you thought of a different angle on this.
I thought that if Marquise Hollywood Brown was out for the season, I bet you that the Chiefs would be knocking at the 49ers' door and seeing what's up with Ayuk. And I know that if their compensation was legit and they spoke to Ayuk, that Ayuk would definitely be interested in playing for the Chiefs.
Oh, you sure would. You sure would if you're Ayuk. I don't know about their cap situation. I also would not trade him to the Chiefs if I'm the 49ers.
And I said, why? Because they're in the AFC. Like, I still would. You're going to face them in the Super Bowl regardless.
I don't want to face them with Brandon Ayuk. I'll tell you that much. They just beat me without Brandon Ayuk, and we had Brandon Ayuk. I think that's a tough sell to the fan base. I know. I'd be such a tough sell to the fan base, though, wouldn't it? I would trade him to any other AFC contender but Kansas City. Kansas City could blow me away by my offer.
Really?
Yes. Because until who's not high on the Chiefs? Apparently ESPN. I can't help them because I'm just going to pencil them in as my Super Bowl opponent until they show me that I shouldn't be doing that. All right, more wide receiver scuttlebutt on the great unsponsored football segment here, Doran. The Bills have placed wide receiver Chase Claypool on IR. Man, that's a heist of all heists. That trade, I think, signified to a ton of Steelers fans that Omar Khan is a real one because Chase Claypool was talking about locker room music and Chase Claypool taking a step back from his rookie year. And I was one of the few people at the time, Norton, who said this was a bad move. Don't take weapons away from Kenny Pickett. Well, thank God I'm not the general manager. But it does beg a question. With Martavis Bryant getting signed by the Commanders today, a lot of folks, myself included, have said the Steelers have a long history of drafting wide receivers not in the first round and then panning out. Look, Juju won a Super Bowl, and Juju was pretty good here. But now at, what, 27? He's done. Martavis Bryant looked like he could be a star, but character evaluations, the drug stuff needs to, I think, fold into your evaluation process. They clearly didn't get that one right. Deontay Johnson, such a big locker room cancer. I saw a list of the top five divas in the NFL get released by some outlet yesterday. He was on that list. Maybe they weren't as good at that as we give them credit for. Or maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill, but there's three guys right there that, at least come with a warning label on them.
Character and talent's different. I think they evaluated the talent very well at receiver, but maybe not the character. And yeah, a lot of those guys were very young players, too, as everybody is. But Juju came in at like 20.
Juju was the youngest player in the league, I think, for a season plus.
I think Claypool was young too. Like, you know, character maybe could be in question there, but talent wise, they did very well. I mean, even going back to my years with Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders in the same draft in 2010, look how much production those two gave the Steelers.
Two dogs, one bone, and
third round pick and a sixth round pick.
Yeah, that's true. And Emmanuel Sanders, he got even better when he left because of that offense.
Mike
Peyton
Wallace,
Manning. Yeah. But at a certain point, it becomes a long time ago. You know what I mean?
True.
Which one of those guys did you think would be the best?
Out of?
Martavis Bryant, Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Martavis.
Me too.
Martavis had so much talent. And it's a shame because it's like, I don't even want to put him in the character pool. I just feel like that there was just an issue that nowadays is not as bad, and it shouldn't be regarded as a super bad issue to get somebody out of the league, in my opinion, that if that weren't a thing, I feel like he would have all pro seasons.
I agree with that.
And it's so much talent.
It was draconian then to suspend guys for that long. Josh Gordon falls into that category too for marijuana. Why in the hell should the NFL have ever cared about that? I think it became a collective bargaining thing, and that was the whole point of it.
Yep.
And they wanted to show that Roger Goodell ruled with an iron fist. But I don't care if my NFL players that I watch for my entertainment on Sundays are smoking pot. Who cares? Do they catch the football? Do they make plays? That's why I'm watching. I thought he might have been, and he played with Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he might have been pound for pound, maybe the most talented player in the league.
Yeah, he was.
Special talent.
I mean, it shows how talented he is. I mean, he's still getting opportunity. He just signed.
That's right.
I mean, when was he here? 16?
Mm-hmm. And that's where you're right, where the talent evaluation is totally different from the character evaluation, because Chase Claypool's getting more chances.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy's a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is a problem, and he's an effort problem. But he got another chance. He gets traded to Miami last year, where all they do is put up points. They know how to evaluate offensive talent. So you're right. The talents, I don't think you can question, but it's the other stuff. And that was the great unsponsored football segment, Doran. And I have been told that that is the last time that that segment will be unsponsored.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
We got a sponsor for it.
Yeah.
I wonder who it is.
I don't know who it is, but I'm very excited about that.
That's nice.
Delighted, in fact. All right, we got social media's Biggest Loser coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And now it's time for social media's Biggest Loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. This was seen on social media. Nobody was a loser on social media, but I happened to stumble upon this. A guy that I follow that really covers the Raiders well, Doran, his name is Mo Moten. I think he's been on with us before to preview Raiders games. He wrote, "I don't think Gardner Minshew has done enough to take the job from incumbent Aiden O'Connell." God, imagine being a Raiders fan.
Oh, man.
Like,
just struggling.
Oh, my God.
Struggling. Fan base moves. Team moves.
Imagine getting geeked up to go to training camp to watch the battle of Gardner Minshew versus Aiden O'Connell. Oh, my God.
They had to have had a first-round pick, right? Who's their... I can't remember.
So long ago now.
Right. Like, I know they got Brock Bowers, but like, they didn't want to get a quarterback.
Tough to throw him the football. Tough guy to miss, but I guarantee you Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell will do their best. Although Gardner Minshew sure did shove it up the Steelers' backside last year.
Yeah, he did.
This year they'll get to take on Anthony Richardson. The other losers, I think, the AP top 25 voters. I don't want to cast aspersions on all of them, but enough people voted to get the University of Miami into that AP poll again, Doran, 19th. And, like, fool me once, okay, fool me twice. How about fool me for, like, 20 straight years with Miami?
Honestly.
They had the 1 year where they were back. And
yeah, when was that?
Like, I mean, that's got to be close to a decade ago now, right? I'm trying to remember who the coach was at that time.
Mm.
You know, it was Mark Richt. It was Mark Richt.
Before he went, no, after Georgia.
After Georgia. And they had that big game where they actually sold out the stadium,
yep,
and they beat Notre Dame, and the place was cooking, and that's all. That's what they've done since like 2000, and here they are at 19th. By the by, Penn State 8th, West Virginia would be 33rd, but that's not really how that goes.
I saw on ESPN here they had Penn State at 8th and most overrated team in the top 10.
They lost a lot, man. They lost a lot. I think they're going to be good. Their schedule's harder. If they don't make the playoff, you gotta let them go. You gotta let them go. Because the thought was last year, oh man, you just beat one of those big schools and you get into the playoff. Well, they don't. Well, then if you expand the playoff, we'd have been in like five of the last however many times. Well, if you don't get in, you gotta go. You gotta go. Because you can't be one of the 12 best teams with that stadium, with the resources they have into that program. You gotta go find another guy. I could also see them making the playoff and then doing the most James Franklin thing ever, losing round one at home in the playoff.
Yep.
It would be a very James Franklin thing to do. All right.
Yep.
We hand things over to Starkey and Zeiss. Very excited about tomorrow's show. Ray Fittipaldo going to join us at 8 o'clock. Doug Whaley from 9 until 10. And then John Wehner at 8:35 talking about those sinking buckos. Have a nice rest of your day, Doran.
You too.
Enjoy yourself.
You too.
Callis, have a ball. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy summer drive continues at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms, conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 80.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.